You got a thought on this Tom Wilson situation, Michael? And feel free to tell me I'm right. I'm always open to those suggestions.
Yeah, it's a tough one, Scotty. I'm listening to you guys, and, you know, I see both sides of this. I see Tom Wilson as, you know, sort of Eric Lindros 2.0, obviously not quite as skilled, not even close to being as skilled, but being that guy that's a first-line guy who, you know, disrupts plays and, you know, makes it really uncomfortable for the other team. Like, I was even trying to picture, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs, and he does this to Mitch Marner and say, you know, Matthew steps in and then he treats Matthews like he treated Panarin. Who on the Leafs is going to respond? And you'd like to say, okay, Wayne Simmons, but even Wayne Simmons is not even a fair match for Tom Wilson. No offense to Simmons, but aside from like a guy like Ryan Reeves, there's very few guys that can handle what Tom Wilson brings in terms of that physicality. So, you know, this is where you hope the league can step in, because, you know, when you've got a guy who's just such a raw dog like Wilson, how many guys can match him? Especially guys who are on the top two lines, like you said, they're going to be playing against him on a nightly basis. So, yeah, this is one where the league has to step in, and I'd be surprised if, you know, he doesn't get the rest of the regular season, but it doesn't stretch into the playoffs as well. If he's playing a game in the first round, there's going to be a lot of people upset, and probably including me, just with the rap sheet that he's got.
Yeah, and the league's kind of gotten away from this, right? Like, we've seen that weed out of the fighting is down, all the stuff after the whistle, and we expected that to kind of pick up this year. At least I did. I mean, we talk about it on the show. You're going to play the same division. There's going to be all these heated rivalries. We're talking this morning how we haven't seen it in the North Division, and I don't think I've seen it much in any of the other divisions. I don't watch it as much, but is that something that surprised you, how we didn't see these, the Philly-Pittsburgh rivalry just intense, or Leafs, Habs, or Flames, Oilers? Like, none of that really materialized this year.
No, you know, aside from like the last week and a half now, we haven't seen any of it. And now we're starting to see it, because I think, you know, you're talking about teams now playing, you know, like Toronto's playing Montreal for the final three times of the season. So now you're setting that tone. Now you're trying to send a message for a potential playoff meeting. And you saw the Habs when they played the Oilers last week. They were going hard and harder against Draisaitl and McDavid. The way that Weber was treating Draisaitl wasn't anything like we saw those two guys playing against each other in January or February. So, yeah, the tone has shifted, and you know this better than anyone. Hockey in the first month of the season differs greatly from, you know, those dog days of February to right before the playoffs, and that intensity ramps up. And I think what Wilson was doing last night was, you know, the intensity's ramping up. That was a Capitals team that was shorthanded. They had a couple guys sitting out for disciplinary reasons, for things that they did within their own team structure. So he knew they were shorthanded. Maybe he knew that this is a chance to, you know, obviously clinch a playoff berth and or just put the Rangers out of the playoffs. So, yeah, he was going at it with an intensity that we didn't see all regular season. So, yeah, expect more of that now that we've got, you know, fewer than half a dozen games left.
Michael Trakos is with us. He is the national hockey writer for Post Media, and he is the author of The Next Ones, How McDavid, Matthews, and a Group of Young Guns Took Over the NHL. Eric Lindros has written the foreword for the book, and Michael traveled from Helsinki, Finland to Thunder Bay, talking to upcoming NHL stars, families, teammates, coaches of these players, scouts. Sounds like a really cool experience, and one we'll touch on here in just a moment. But we'll lead into it, Michael, with the question that we've been asking, understanding, of course, that answering for one does not diminish the accomplishment of the other. But what impresses you more? Connor McDavid, who with 2 goals and 4 points in last night's game, now has 91 points in 50 Oilers games as he pushes for 100 in a shortened season, or Austin Matthews, who is now 1 goal shy of 40 in what for him will be no more than a 52-game season?
They're both ridiculous. Any time when, you know, I was seeing the stats last night that, you know, McDavid's putting up points per game numbers equivalent to Mario Lemieux, and same thing with Matthews. His goals per game is Lemieux-like. you shouldn't be able to touch those numbers because different era, different goalies, different game. So they're both ridiculous. For me, you know what, the fact that McDavid is going to put 100 points up in a 56-game season is just, it's ridiculous. So I'm going to say McDavid just because when I look at those offensive leaders now on the scoring list, and, you know, if Draisaitl was leading the league with 73 points, he'd say, hey, something's wrong here. We're in the final weeks of the season, and we're not even going to get a guy with 82 points. But you look at McDavid's numbers, and you're going, yeah, it looks like a regular 82-game season. And, you know, same thing with Matthews, too. You know, if you finish with 40-something goals, that just looks like a regular year. Sometimes you don't get a 50-goal scorer. But what McDavid's doing, 91 points right now, it's ludicrous. The goalies are so good. The defenses, everyone plays a 200-foot game now. Everyone checks. Everyone back checks. So I don't know how this guy is able to score at will. Well, I know how he is because he's not human, obviously.
Yeah, and it's really impressive. It's the single-handed efforts that do it for me. Speed to the neutral zone. He doesn't really need much help around him to get it done for McDavid. And Matthews, to score this many goals, I think you do need someone. So it's tough to say, well, who does McDavid have playing with him and who does Matthews have playing with? You know, can Matthews do this by himself? Can McDavid do it by himself? And I know Josh Anderson was asked yesterday about the difference between them. I was wondering your thoughts on it because he was kind of alluding to, you know, Matthews has Marner on the ice. That's the big difference. Or was there something more there in Josh Anderson's comments? Like, yeah, Matthews is only good because of Marner, which I don't think is necessarily the case.
No, I was almost reading it as like, when he was mentioning Marner, it was almost like, yeah, as dangerous as Matthews is, he's doubly dangerous because he's got arguably one of the best playmakers riding shotgun with him. And, you know, Marner's shown that he can shoot the puck as well. So I don't think there's a knock on, you know, Matthews only can do this because he's got Marner. I think it was, yeah, Jesus, like this guy's incredible. Plus he's got Marner, whereas you know, McDavid and Draisaitl aren't always playing together. And mm-hmm. You know, you take Draisaitl off that line and it's just McDavid. Saying that, it's not just McDavid. Yeah. Like, I was talking with Matt Nichol, former strength coach of the Leafs. You guys know him pretty well, I'm sure. And he was just saying how strong McDavid is. And, you know, the credit we don't give this guy who's, you know, he's not built like Tom Wilson, but he says you spend any time with him in the weight room and just where he is right now as a 24-year-old. You know, Weber's going after guys like McDavid and Draisaitl, and then you see McDavid now. He's throwing hits. I think he's fifth on the team amongst forwards and body checks this year. So we're seeing also just different facets of McDavid's game. Obviously he's scoring at a higher clip than he's ever done. But I just feel like everything's really coming together right now. Like these next 2 years, like as good as he's been, he's almost treating the league similar to how he treated the OHL in his final years, where it's just kind of like he's now become the man amongst boys. And it's really fascinating to see. I'm kind of curious to see what's going to happen in the playoffs, because that's always been the knock against the Leafs. It's been the knock against McDavid as well. Like, as good as these teams are in the regular season, it's a different story come playoff time. And, you know, I think we're just seeing a little bit more grit, a little bit more physicality from both the Oilers and the Leafs. And we'll see if those guys, Matthews and McDavid, can put up the point totals in the playoffs, just with that new, you know, a little bit more size, a little bit more snarl to the game.
Yeah, and if we get a regular season next year of 82 games, Michael, it'd be the first time in 3 years that a full season worth of games is played out. Can Connor score 150 points? Can Austin notch 60 goals? Like, it's, and these, as you said, these guys are getting into their mid-20s now, like right into their primes.